Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Aditya Birla Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Vishakha Mulye, CEO, Aditya Birla Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the earnings calls of Aditya Birla Capital for Q2 FY2024. Joining me today are my senior members of my team: Bala, Rakesh, Pankaj, Kamlesh, Mayank, Pinky, Vijay, Ramesh, and Sanchita. I will cover our strategy and approach across businesses, and I request Vijay to cover the financial highlights followed by a discussion on performance of our key businesses by respective CEOs. The Indian economy continued to be resilient amidst the uncertainties in the global environment. The underlying growth momentum is visible with expansion in manufacturing and services PMI, real estate buoyancy, and higher demand for travel. GST collections increased by 13% year-on-year to 1.73 lakh crore rupees. Passenger car sales increased by 16% year-on-year in October. Though there has been a pause in monetary policy tightening globally and in India, trend in inflation needs to be monitored closely. We expect the positive macroeconomic trends to continue and Indian economy to perform well in FY2024. At Aditya Birla Capital, we follow one ABC, one P&L approach to focus on quality and profitable growth by leveraging data, digital, and technology. The three pillars of our approach are one customer, one experience, and one team. This approach has helped us to accelerate our growth trajectory, build scale, and increase market share across our businesses. Our total lending portfolio across NBFC and HFC businesses grew by 41% year-on-year to 109,000 crore rupees. The total AUM across mutual fund insurance businesses increased by 12% year-on-year to over 4 lakh crore rupees. The total consolidated revenue grew by 22% year-on-year to 8,831 crore rupees in Q2 FY2024. We are happy to share that our consolidated profit before tax grew by 46% year-on-year and crossed a 1,000 crore rupee milestone during this quarter. Consolidated profit after tax grew by 44% year-on-year to 705 crore rupees. Our endeavor is to provide one experience to our customers across all channels. We follow an omnichannel architecture for distribution and give our customers the complete flexibility to choose their channel of interaction. Digital-first is at the core of our strategy for product innovation, direct acquisition, and seamless transaction experience. In our AMC business, about 78% of our customers were onboarded digitally. In life insurance, 80% of renewals were done digitally. In our health insurance business, 85% of our business is delivered by auto underwriting. As you are aware, our comprehensive B2B platform for MSME ecosystem, Udyog Plus, went live earlier during this year. I'm happy to share that we have seen a very robust response for our Udyog Plus with more than 164,000 registrations as of September end. It offers paperless digital journey for small-ticket businesses loan along with the PIFA solutions and various value-added services to our MSME clients. We have integrated Udyog Plus with several government and private e-commerce websites via OCEN to provide various credit facilities to sellers on these platforms. We have started integrating Udyog Plus with ABG ecosystem to provide channel financing to our dealers. Udyog Plus has reached a monthly run rate of 50 crore rupees disbursement with ABG ecosystem contributing two-thirds of this business. We will continue to scale the businesses in ABG ecosystem as we expand our market footprint in B2B segments. As we continue to strengthen our digital offerings, we are also focused on expanding our physical footprint. Our branch expansion is targeted at driving penetration into Tier 3 and Tier 4 towns and capturing white spaces across our customer segments. Our overall branch count increased by 71 and we had 1,403 branches across all our businesses as of September end. In line with our One ABC approach, we continue to expand our co-located branches, which increased by 70 during the quarter to 691 branches across 201 locations as on September end. We are also leveraging the extended ABG and ABCL ecosystem to accelerate our growth trajectory across various businesses. ABG and ABC ecosystems contribute about 7% of our total disbursement in our housing finance business during this quarter. We also follow a one customer approach through which we build deep understanding of our customer profiles and provide them best-in-class solutions across PIFA for their financial and business stage needs. We had mentioned in our previous earning calls that we are developing an omni-channel D2C platform with various touch points through which we'll acquire new customers and provide holistic financial solutions to our existing customers. We are progressing well in this journey and the mobile app of this platform next 90 days. Going forward, we will continue with our One ABC, One P&L approach to grow and build scale in each of our key businesses. Now, I request Vijay to briefly cover the financial performance of our key subsidiaries for the quarter. Over to you, Vijay.
Thank you, Vishakha, and good evening, everyone. Coming to the financial performance, consolidated profit after tax grew by 44% year-on-year and 9% sequentially to 705 crore rupees. The total revenue grew by 22% year-on-year and 8% sequentially to 8,831 crore rupees in Q2 of FY24. In our NBFC business, we continued with a strong momentum of disbursements and granularization of our book. Disbursements for the quarter grew by 32% year-on-year to 16,477 crore rupees in Q2 of FY24. This helped the loan portfolio to grow 44% year-on-year and 9% sequentially to 93,522 crore rupees as of September end. The NBFC business had a healthy ROA of 2.51% and ROE of 18% in Q2 FY24. During Q2 FY24, we also infused equity capital amounting to 750 crore rupees in our NBFC subsidiary to support the growth momentum and maximize our share of opportunities. Our housing finance business continues to see healthy momentum with disbursements increasing by 52% year-on-year and 16% sequentially to 1,882 crore rupees during Q2 of FY24. The loan portfolio grew by 23% year-on-year and 6% sequentially to 15,439 crore rupees as of September end. ROA was a healthy of 2.03% and ROE was 14.5% in Q2 FY24. Coming to our AMC business, the average asset under management increased by 10% year-on-year and 5% sequentially to 3,10,899 crore rupees, of which equity AUM contributed approximately 42%. Our passives AUM grew by 68% year-on-year to 28,438 crore rupees in September end. In life insurance business, our individual first-year premium grew by 13% year-on-year. Net VNB margins expanded by 195 basis points year-on-year and 240 basis points sequentially to 14.2% in H1 FY24. Embedded value increased by 13% over March 2023 and crossed 10,000 crore rupees mark. In our health insurance business, our unique and differentiated health first model helped us to deliver a growth of 23% year-on-year in the quarter one of FY24. The combined ratio was 119% in Q2 FY24. With that, I will now hand over the call to Rakesh to take us through the NBFC business performance in detail.
Thanks, Vijay, and good evening, everyone. In our NBFC business, we saw a sustained momentum across all segments in quarter two, contributing to 9% quarter-on-quarter and 44% year-on-year growth in our AUM, taking it to 93,522 crores of loan book. Our retail and SME segment AUM grew 49% year-on-year and now stands at 62,577 crores, contributing to two-thirds of the AUM mix. Our active customer base grew to 5.9 million customers compared to 5.3 million last year, a 13% growth year-on-year. New business sourcing was strong in quarter two. We disbursed 16,477 crores, which is 32% higher than quarter two last year. All product segments contributed to this growth, with our business loan segment being the biggest contributor in terms of disbursement, mix at 41%, followed by personal and consumer loan segment at 32%. Our strong sourcing quality in this segment is demonstrated by 87% of the portfolio having a credit bureau score of 700 plus. Our net interest margin expanded by 16 basis points year-on-year to 6.87% in quarter two. While our OPEX to AUM ratio reduced by 26 basis points year-on-year to 2%, our cost-income ratio reduced by 428 basis points year-on-year to 28.76% for the quarter. Our profit after tax for quarter two was rupees 548 crores, growing by 53% year-on-year. As a result, the return on equity for the quarter expanded by 42 basis points year-on-year to 18.01%. The asset quality has shown a consistent improvement over the last year, with Stage 2 and Stage 3 combined book coming down from 8.50 in quarter 2 of last year to 5.24% in quarter 2 of this year. Gross Stage 3 book has dropped to 2.64% from 3.53% in quarter 2 of last year. Our Stage 3 provision cover has increased to 48.3%, which is higher by 5.2% over quarter 2 of last year. As I had mentioned in last quarter earnings call, we launched Udyog Plus, our unique and differentiated unified B2B platform for MSME customers. In a brief duration of 6 months, we have over 164,000 MSMEs registered on the platform as of September 23. To deepen our geographical reach through physical presence, we added 43 branches this quarter and 154 branches in the last 12 months, taking our branch count to the total of 375 branches as of September 23. We will continue to scale Udyog Plus and invest in enhancing our distribution capacity to fuel our growth momentum. I'm happy to share that we successfully concluded the maiden public issue of NCD non-convertible debentures for 2,000 crores in October 2023. The issue received an overwhelming response and was oversubscribed by 1.22 times with over 10,000 applications across categories of investors. To conclude and reiterate our performance, we had a robust quarter in terms of growth, leading us to a return on asset of 2.51% in quarter two. In the last few quarters, we will continue to build a granular portfolio and enhance our retail and SME segment mix. As we build scale, enhance capacity, and invest in technology, we remain committed to delivering a sustainable returns for the forthcoming quarter. With that, I will now hand over to Pankaj Gadgil, MD and CEO of Housing Finance Business.
Thank you, Rakesh, and good evening, everyone. I'll now cover the performance of ABHFL in Q2 FY24. We maintained strong momentum in disbursals and book growth. Robust financial performance and focus on portfolio quality has led to consistent improvement across all return metrics. Key highlights are as follows. Like Vijay earlier mentioned, disbursements of 1882 crores, which is an increase of 52% YOY. I'm also happy to announce that we've crossed 15,000 crores mark in AUM, and as of September 23, it stands at 15,409 crores, an increase of 23% YOY. The customer base also has grown, and it has grown by 18% YOY and now stands at 58,400 customers. NIM is 4.88%, and our profit before tax for the quarter is rupees 97 crores, which is our ever highest in the quarter with an increase of 28% YOY. On asset quality, stage 2 plus stage 3 has reduced by 38 basis points QOQ and 390 basis points YOY. The PAT for Q2 FY24 is 75 crore rupees, an increase of 26% YOY, and the ROA for the quarter is 2.03% with the ROE at 14.50%. You can refer to the detailed financials on slide 25 of the presentation. On portfolio quality with focus on quality of origination, 96% of our disbursements in Q2 FY24 are towards 700 plus CIBIL or new to credit. The contribution of 730 plus CIBIL to origination is at 74%, which is significantly higher than the industry average of 42%. Our gross stage 3 has shown significant improvement, decreasing from 3.75% in September 2022 to 2.63% in September 2023. We are maintaining stage 3 PCR of 34%. The details of the same are provided on slide 23. Moving to treasury management, we maintain an average cost of borrowing of 7.60% for the quarter, prioritizing a diversified borrowing mix. The contribution of NHB to our total borrowings has increased from 16% to 21% in September 2023. We have maintained positive ALM across all buckets and the CRAR stands at 20.38%. You can see that we have demonstrated consistent improvement across all aspects of book growth, asset quality and core profitability. Now I'd like to provide you a brief 6-month update on the organizational roadmap that we presented during our discussions in April 2023. Firstly, coming to the growth and distribution network, we've been growing at a consistent pace in both the prime and affordable segments. We now have a nationwide presence with 131 branches covering about 85% of the total addressable market of the housing finance industry. We witnessed a twofold growth in channel partner onboarding in the last 6 months. And like Vishakha earlier mentioned, the ABG ecosystem contribution of the disbursements now stands at 7% for the quarter. Secondly, on digital reinvention of our entire customer journey, I am pleased to announce that as of August 2023, we've successfully deployed our new unified digital lending platform Finverse in all branches as per plan. This expansion follows our discussion during the last call when it was initially deployed in 33 branches in June 2023. Within just 1 month of its pan-India launch, Finverse adoption is now more than 40% in September 2023. Finverse, to reiterate, offers unified interface for all stakeholders like customers, partners, employees and vendors with 95 plus API integrations and built-in data-led algorithms for easy credit assessment. It also has additional capabilities like real-time dashboard and customer portal. This simple and intuitive user-friendly interface ensures the benefits like easy login, real-time query resolution, digital collection and validation, access to loan status for customers amongst other features. Lastly, on the analytics front, we are well on course. We have built a team now in the last 6 months and the adoption of our initial models, including attrition prediction, pre-delinquency management, and lead scoring models, performance is very encouraging and consistent with our envisioned plan. In summary, we continue to invest in long-term growth while maintaining robust profitability and a quality portfolio, all while maintaining customer centricity at this core. With that, I now hand over to Bala, MD and CEO of our asset management company.
Mr. Bala, may I request you to unmute your line from your side, please?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
sir, please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Pankaj. As I presented the AMC analyst call, I'll just give a quick briefing of the AMC performance for the quarter ending September 24. Our overall average assets under management, including alternate assets, reached 24,000 crores, and growing by 10% year-on-year basis. The mutual fund quarterly average AUM has crossed 3 lakh crore, and equity quarterly average AUM crossed 1,30,000 crores. SIP flows compared to the last year has gone up from 931 crores, 968 crores, and overall folio count remained about 80 lakhs. Our strategic efforts across channels have enhanced market presence with the focus fund offer, gaining traction and driving the upswing. The sales ecosystem, including VRM, Sampark, and service to sales and digital distribution, have also been yielding a positive result. On the passive front, our offering grew by about 68% to about 28,400 crores. As of September 2023, and has been growing a customer base along with that, about 5.4 lakhs portfolios. On the AIF front, the fundraising is underway in the ABSL India Special Opportunity Fund Category 3 AIF. After setting up our GIFT City, we have launched the industry first ABSL Global Emerging Equity Fund. This actually feeds into a Varga Emerging Market Equity Fund, enabling investors to access and benefit from emerging market opportunities. Where we have closed the first tranche of this fund and garnered collection of about $11.2 million. Moving on to the financial for the quarter, our revenue from operations for the Q2 FY24 was at 335 crores versus 311 crores in Q2 FY23, up by about 8% year-on-year. Our operating profit for Q2 FY24 was 181 crores versus 172 crores, up by 5% year-on-year. With this, I'll hand it over to Kamlesh Rao, who is the MD and CEO of IEEE Insurance Company.
Thank you, Bala. And I will now speak about the life insurance business performance. The first half saw a growth rate of 13% for the individual life insurance business, in line with the private industry growth and higher than the overall industry growth of 8%. This growth in value was supported by a 19% growth in policy count. Our growth was driven through higher growth in our proprietary channels at 22%. We saw degrowth in our largest bank partner in Q2, which was driven by their strategic shift to contribute more to their subsidiary life insurance partner. Our other bank channels saw a robust 39% growth in Q2. During the quarter, we commenced business at IDFC First Bank, and our Bank of Maharashtra business will go live in the month of November. We are hopeful by the end of Q3, we will further strengthen our banker proposition to drive growth going forward. Products launched in the last 1 year contributed 44% of the business in H1 of financial year 24. In the individual business, traditional products contributed 79% and the ULIP contributed 18% to our overall business. This has resulted in strong gross margins. Upsell to existing customers contributed 28% of the business in H1 of 24. This helped productivity growth in both our proprietary as well as partnership channels. The group life insurance business segment for the industry saw a degrowth of 23% in the first half, while ABSLI degrew at 10%. We continue to remain number one in the ULIP segment of this business with an AUM of 10,455 crores. We maintain our guidance of growth for the full year projections for this business of 24. Our total premium of 6,827 crore has registered a growth rate of 7% over last year. This growth came from new business growth as well as renewal premium growing at 19% and digital collections now accounting for 80% of our renewal premium. Persistency across all buckets did well with the 13th month persistency now at 87% and the 61st month at 59%. We continue to maintain an upward bias in our forward guidance for these persistency numbers. Our assets under management now stand close to 76,999 crores with a YOY growth of 19%. 25% of this AUM is in equity and the balance 75% in debt. Our investment performance has been better than respective benchmarks across all three categories of either equity, debt, or even balanced funds, either from a one-year or a five-year perspective. Our digital adoption across various areas is demonstrated in slide 44. 100% of the new business customers are onboarded digitally. 83% of all our services are now available digitally, covering 62% of our customer transactions. And our customer self-service ratio now stands at 89%. Our net VNB margin continues to grow well with an expansion of 195 basis points to 14.2% in H1 of this year, as seen in slide 41. We expect to deliver 23% plus net VNB margins in financial year 24. Our approach is to continue the growth trajectory of this business ahead of the industry, backed by both productivity and capacity. We expect continued improvement in the quality of the book. Growth will come from a diversified mix of both proprietary and partnership channels. We will continue to be best in class in our digital infrastructure across prospecting and onboarding in sales, underwriting, and customer service, as well as claims. With this, I'll hand over to Mayank, MD CEO of our health insurance.
Thanks, Kamlesh. Let me now present the performance of our health insurance business. In the first half of this year, we have registered a gross premium growth of 23% year-on-year in line with the market. We have seen some good traction in retail sales towards the end of this quarter, and we saw an overall growth of about 38% in September 23, against the SAHI growth rate of 23%. Post the changes we had done in our channel strategy in the first half of the year, we now expect this growth traction to continue. Our market share in SAHI has improved from 10.4% at the end of the last financial year, 10.7% in the first half. We saw good traction in our larger retail channels, the proprietary channel growing at 34%, backed by the capacity additions over the last 12 months, and a very focused geography strategy. The share of proprietary channel is now close to 30% compared to 25% in the same period last year. Our advisor count has now crossed 1 lakh for the first time, demonstrating the large scale of our agency channel. Our focus on driving superior product mix has led to contribution of fixed benefit products growing from 12% in the first half of last year to 16% of the portfolio in this first half, which will positively impact profitability in the forthcoming quarters. We continue to add new capacities in our bank insurance channel with the onboarding of Yes Bank. Activation of new partners added in the last few months will support our retail business growth in the coming months. Our corporate business grew at 37% year-on-year, driven by our strong focus on profitability. This is enabled by sharp selection of customer segment, cross-sell, upsell, corporate wellness, and the industry-leading OPD product. We continue to focus on mid-corporate and SME segments to create a sustainable and profitable corporate and affinity business. By prioritizing both growth and profitability, we are trying to build a resilient franchise. Our net loss for the first half is reduced to 140 crores from 149 in the same period last year. Claims and expense ratios have trended well overall at a company level. Our core in first half is higher compared to same period previous year, mainly due to the impact of seasonality of growth over the last 12 months. Individual components are trending very well, and we expect the core to normalize in the coming quarters, in line with what we saw last year. As a tech and digital enabled data-driven health-first business, we remain committed to investing on a sustained basis both in our tech and digital capabilities. Our digitally powered, hyper-scale, hyper-personalized engagement allows us to gain deeper insights into our customers accessing a wealth of health and lifestyle data. Our app downloads have increased 67% year-on-year, and our monthly average users have grown by 35% year-on-year. Self-service transactions now stand at 79% compared to 67% in Q1. Leveraging high-end data and analytics tools, we drive better business outcomes, enabling us to make informed decisions that positively impact our customer lives. This involves personalized product offerings, targeted health and wellness interventions, and a personalized service approach, all aimed at enhancing overall customer experience. In addition, the investment in data augmentation and analytics is helping improve our cross-sell retention and, most importantly, fraud waste and abuse management. We continue to bolster our digital health and wellness ecosystem and now have more than 60-plus partners, and we are now working with multiple insurers, techs, and health tech players to enhance customer value and operational efficiency. In the last quarter, we launched the first of its kind digital face scan-based health assessment feature at scale to augment customer health data, working with a health tech partner. It now contributes to more than 15% of our total health assessment, significant good acceptance by customers. Looking ahead, given the compelling opportunity and enabling regulatory environment, we remain optimistic on the growth potential of the health insurance industry. Our vision continues to be to expand our franchise aggressively, but maintaining best-in-class unit economics with a clear focus on profitability. Thank you, and now pass it back to Vishakha for our closing remarks.
Thank you, Mayank. This concludes our comments on our performance, and now we'll be very happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Anuj Singla from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, everyone. So the first question I have it on the personal and the consumer segment with the average ticket size of 33,000. Now, we get a lot of queries on the bureau data which shows stress in the less than 50,000 category. But when I look at our earnings, the GS3 has been stable QOQ, so there doesn't seem to be any kind of stress in our portfolio. But can you talk about the early delinquency trends in this quarter and any action we have taken on the customer cohort or the new sourcing in this segment?
So if you look at, Anuj, our unsecured and personal consumer loans with ticket size less than 50,000 and tenor less than 30 days is only 1% of our total loan book. And unsecured personal and consumer loans with ticket size less than 50,000 and tenor less than 30 days, which comprises BNPL sourced through partners, is only 2% of our overall loan book. So clearly, I think the portfolio is very small for both these segments. And in terms of what, as you rightly mentioned, our portfolio looks very, very stable. But we have been monitoring this portfolio very closely. In terms of taking wherever decisions in terms of tightening, we are doing our underwriting and scorecards. We are tightening the scorecards. So we are all the indicators are looking fine at this point in time, and we have no cause of concern, but we have started tracking the leverage of these customers. So to give you an example, customers who are onboarded 9 months back, 12% of the customers have now leverage, which is 1.5 times of what they were 9 months back. So clearly, we are tracking the leverage of these customers also and keeping a very close watch on this portfolio. So very calibrated growth on business is what we are looking at in this segment.
Got it, Rakesh. Thank you very much. And the second question is on the sourcing from the digital ecosystem partners. Now, one of the peers today commented that the delinquencies in this portfolio sourced through the digital ecosystem or the fintech partners are higher versus traditional partners. Can you talk about your experience here in your portfolio? And secondly, and there is a slide here as well where you mentioned that you're using the customers acquired through the digital ecosystem for cross-sell. For this cohort of customers, can you talk about the cross-sell rate? What have we achieved till now?
So, I think the cross-sell, almost 40% plus of the new personal loans come through these consumer loans. So, that's our cross-sell conversion. Your first question in terms of what we are seeing through the digital partners. So, again, we are not seeing any deterioration in terms of, yes, we have calibrated. If you look at our personal and consumer in quarter four was growing at 21% quarter on quarter, which came down to 15%, and then in last quarter it's come down to 9%. So we are calibrating and we are really tightening wherever needs to take proactive measures. We are doing it. At this point in time, we don't see any deterioration and the portfolio looks quite stable. But very, very proactive in terms of through-the-door analysis, looking at the bounce trends, looking at the resolutions, and in terms of the leverage, as I mentioned earlier, we're looking at it very closely and taking calibrated calls in terms of doing business.
Anuj, one more point is that I'm not sure what the others are doing, but
But as far as we are concerned, as we said in our remarks, that we follow an omni-channel approach. So irrespective of the fact which channel the customer approaches, as far as our credit standards and underwriting standards are concerned, they're identical. Okay, so that's a very important point which is there. So even though they come through the digital channel for us, we treat them like any other channel, and our underwriting standards are same across our channels. So that also kind of helps us to manage. So it's not that because it is coming from one particular channel that our asset quality is, not as good as it is from our own channel or through a DSA channel or through a direct channel. And of course, as Rakesh says, that, we are very proactively managing this portfolio. Wherever required, we are also tightening it.
So, Vishakha, will it be fair to assume that the delinquency trends, irrespective of the challenge, will be quite similar? So, not exactly. It will be similar across channels?
Yeah, for the similar customer segment, it is identical.
Okay. Okay, got it. And the last question is on the capital. So while we injected capital in the NBFC in this quarter, like Vijay mentioned, the tier 1 is still 13.8, capital adequacy 16.3, and this business has been growing pretty impressively, and I think the trajectory also remains strong. So how should we look at the capital requirements of this business maybe over the next 2 years?
So Anuji raised 3,000 crores of capital, if you recollect, during the month of June, which at a franchise level, we are confident that it will suffice us for 2 years, which is closure of FY25. And within that, a large part of the allocation will continue to go towards our lending businesses. So we see the trajectory clear, and for next 2 years, we are sufficiently funded.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrawal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and congratulations on a good quarter. Just wanted to understand, when you've already spoken about personal loans, consumer loans, and business loans, what we are doing, the standards we're calibrating. I just wanted to understand, given that we have a fairly good tie-up with some of the fintechs, digital player. We have, good number of partnerships in the digital ecosystem through which you source personal loans. Have you had a chance to check what proportion of your personal consumer or unsecured business loans is being originated through this fintech ecosystem? And likewise, what is the average ticket size of these loans? And currently, as of September, what was your gross stage 3 in this portfolio?
Our total of 19,200 crores, which is our personal and consumer. The consumer, which is around 4,200 odd crores, which is 22% of our retail and consumer business, that's where the digital partnership really plays out. And I also mentioned about the proportion and the percentage of less than 50,000 ticket sizes in our overall portfolio, which is less than 50,000 is and more than 30 days is only 1% of our overall portfolio. So that's how it is.
Okay. And currently in these loans, like you said, consumer is predominantly the portfolio originated through digital partnerships. What is the gross stage 3 numbers that you're seeing right now?
So this is again, it's in our, if you look at improving the asset quality slide, which is there.
Slide number 10.
If you look at both our stage 2 and stage 3, is quite stable, including stage 2 and stage 3. Last quarter was 4.1%, and this quarter also it's 4.1%. And if you look at 2.1% was the stage 2 and 2% is stage 3. So it's been very, very stable now.
Got it. So essentially, this entire consumer portfolio that you're talking about, fair to assume, large part of it is originated through digital partnerships.
Consumer business, yeah.
Consumer.
Apart from that, some ecosystem and internal ecosystem and all also, but yes, these are small ticket loans.
Got it. And just one last question. Just trying to understand, I mean, because our asset quality is still holding up very well, I mean, and the fact that you've already shared, that you've already calibrated your underwriting, I mean, are you not seeing any fintech partners where you are evaluating whether you should continue that partnership or whether you should not? In other words, what I'm trying to understand, when there is so much that's being discussed at the industry level, there are no early warning indicators that you're seeing in your consumer portfolio at this point in time.
In terms of we review these portfolios on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, we have a monthly cadence with our partners. We review the portfolio, whichever cohort, partnerships or segments which are not looking good, we close it and tighten it then and there. So it's not about that. So we would have taken a call maybe 12 months back or 15 months back with few of the partners, quite a few partners. So this is an ongoing process. We keep reviewing this. So you are right, there are certain partners where the portfolio quality might not be good, but we don't wait for long. We take a decision then and there and we just tighten it or stop that partnership. And there are a lot of examples where we have stopped doing any business with them.
What a title. That's all from my side. Thank you so much. And all the very best to you and your team.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Parag Thakkar from Anvil Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, I'm audible?
Yes, sir. May I request you to use your handset, sir?
Yeah. So basically, my question is that what kind of margin picture you see and ROA picture you see on the NBFC side as well as housing finance side? Generally, we are seeing this NIM moderation across the sector in the lending space. And the other point is that as everybody is alluding to, the asset quality which is related to fintech or digital partnerships. So what kind of red flags are there in your system, for example, bounce check rate or whatever, which you can highlight, which gives us comfort that on the consumer side, especially in the digital partnerships and fintech, our asset quality will remain robust.
So Parag, I will just address the NBFC and then I will ask Pankaj to add for the housing. But in terms of the margins, I think first point was on margin. If you look at the cost of funds went up by 14 basis points, though our yields improved for the quarter, but because of the cost of funds went up, that is the reason why the margin slightly, and it's in the same range, it's not, and we are quite confident that with the change in the product mix, we will be back and to the normal margins which we have delivered previous quarter and whatever we have committed going forward. So with the change in the product mix, we should be able to, also we believe that we are at the fag end of the increase in cost of funds. And once that stabilizes, the change in the product mix will start really delivering the improvement in the margins. So that was your first question. In terms of
just to interrupt. Our guided range is what, 6.5 to 7% NIM and 2.5 to 3% ROA.
Yes, so 2.5% ROA is what the last quarter also we delivered, 2.54, and this quarter also is in the same range, 2.51, very similar range.
Correct.
So we will continue and deliver these ROAs and continue to, as our commitment, and we will continue to improve the ROAs over the next couple of years.
Great. And what is the loan book based on the economy, based on the economic momentum, what kind of loan book growth you envisage in the NBFC? We'll come to housing later. On your NBFC part, what kind of loan, for example, this quarter, I think you have provided about 44%, right?
Yeah,
So what kind of sustainable growth we can assume with improved ROA trajectory, as you rightly said, in the coming 2 years, I would say.
So, Parag, again, if you look at, we invested in our distribution, we increased our branch footprint. If you look at branch 2 years back was 119 branches, that has gone to 375. We are looking at 500 odd branches. We have increased our headcount in terms of manpower. So we have built in the capacity, and which is what is playing out. But yes, going forward, the growth will be slightly moderated compared to what we have delivered last quarter. A guidance which we have always given is that we will double our book in the next 3 years. And that's what we are really working to deliver.
With the improvement in ROA from 2.5% to, say, what level in next 2 years? I'm just asking about the across numbers. Not necessarily I'll hold on to that, but the ROA improvement, as you are saying, from 2.5%.
Yes, Parag.
So what kind of ROA we are targeting in next 2 years? We are doubling our book in 3 years, and ROA, what is the...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Parag. May we request you to use your handset, please?
1 second.
So, Parag, our committed guidance on this front is that we will double our book in the next 3 years, and we will improve our ROAs to 3% in the next 3 years with a change in the product mix and improvement of margins.
Correct. Perfect. And the second question was on the red flag. How do you see, for example, if there is a loan given through a digital channel, how do you see that, you know, there is a red flag and this loan can turn bad? So what is the first sign? The check bounce rate, right?
So Parag, I mentioned earlier, I think we are tracking the leverage. See, when we give the loan, we know what is the kind of debt the customer has because you have access to the credit bureau score and everything. But post that, how many more loans a customer takes and increases the leverage and debt, I think that's what we are really watching very closely. And I mentioned that 12% of our customers over the last 9 months, we have seen that they have taken, their leverage has gone up by 1.5 times.
Correct.
So we are tracking these customers, this 12% of the customers, we are tracking it very closely, and we will continue to track the customers where the leverage is going up. Also, we track the vintage delinquency very closely. And as I said, the first indicator is the bounce rate. And our bounce rate is still improving and it's quite stable. So I think that's the first indicator. Things are looking stable and we will continue to monitor very, very closely the leverage, the vintage delinquency, all these parameters we will continue to look at very, very closely.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Parag. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shloka from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Kral here. I have two questions. One was of this corporate and mid-market book. As you know, here, we have had a very good growth of about 37% on year-on-year basis and 8% of this quarter-on-quarter basis. Within which construction finance, you know, from about 4,000 odd crores has gone up to like 5,500 crores, right? So two questions to this part. One was specifically from construction finance, you know, what kind of lending is this and to help understand the growth that is coming here. And second, on the overall corporate and mid market, how do we see the growth, you know, in this particular segment? Is the competitive intensity out there which would kind of impact the NIMs going ahead? Some highlight on this particular segment of the overall book growth would really help. That's the first question.
So if I can address that, then maybe you can ask the second question. So if you look at the developer finance, 4,200, which went to 5,300, 5,400 crores. Yes, growth of 1,000 odd crores in that portfolio. This is a very, very stable portfolio for us. See, the drawdown in this business is dependent in terms of how the project is moving and when the requirement is. So that's the reason I think the drawdown in this quarter has been slightly higher. And majority of our exposure in this portfolio is to category A developers across the country, primarily focused on Mumbai, Pune, and Bangalore. So these are the three markets where our prime exposures are. And it's a very, very stable, very well-performing portfolio for us. So that's question number one. On the mid-market and corporate, see, again, corporate books is looking very, very good at this point in time. The corporate portfolio, the leverage which the corporate businesses have, looking very good. We are looking at a very calibrated growth in this business. Our growth drivers will remain retail and SME. And this business will, yes, we will not miss an opportunity, but clearly the growth drivers will be retail and SME.
Got it. And in the construction finance, is there a concentration on, again, you know, it's kind of spread out, about 1,000 crore increase, right? And if I see, compare it from last year, right, so from 3,000 to almost doubling of the book to about 5,500. So is there concentration here, or it's fairly diversified between the lenders and between the projects, or how is it?
So these are very well diversified. See, last year comparison is not, it was coming out of COVID and a lot of projects were slow at that point in time. If you look at just before COVID also, our portfolio used to be 4,000 plus. So from that point of view, there is no significant over the 2-3 years, because the construction activity was slow. That's the reason the portfolio has come down. But now the real estate has picked up and construction activity has picked up. So that's the reason you see a pick in this. And it's quite well diversified. As I mentioned, category A developers primarily focused on Mumbai, Pune and Bangalore. Yes, some amount of Hyderabad, but primarily these are the markets which we really cater to.
Got it. Interesting. The other question that I had was, you know, again in the NBFC piece, the active customers number for the last 4 quarters, you know, has been more or less hovering around the same number. But we have had robust growth when it comes to the unsecured piece, the personal and consumer loan piece, right? So how should one read this? While active customers number more or less remained the same in the last 4 quarters, if I read the numbers correctly, but then we have had robust growth on the asset side. So how should one read this two data points put together?
And we mentioned this, we are looking at a very well-calibrated business with our digital partners. So small ticket loans has come down. I mentioned it to you that in quarter four was 21%, then 15%, then 9%. So it's been coming down. We are really looking at mining the existing customer base and cross-selling to the existing customer base. The customers were performing well. So our clear focus is that we cross-sell to the existing customers, and we are churning the small ticket wherever it's very calibrated in terms of. So that's the reason why you see customer acquisition would be higher, but active customers has been slightly, and because that's a very, very strategic call which we have taken in terms of calibrated growth in this segment.
No, but if I understand correctly, cross-selling would be of different products, right? I mean, the other businesses that we have, that would be something which we would be cross-selling, right? Particularly about the NBFC customer base growth and the loan book growth.
So, again, I think cross-sell is maybe not the right term, upsell. So, a consumer loan customer who comes in, then we see and track the performance of these customers, then we upsell a personal loan. So, a consumer loan customer moving to a personal loan, but the number of customers is not increasing. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, average ticket size for one customer is going up. Right, there could be different segments of loan for that particular customer, right, and therefore the active customer base not going up, but the loan book growth would be right to understand average outstanding for one customer going up in the last few quarters is one of the reasons which is driving growth. Is that the fair understanding then?
A fair understanding, but yeah, that's a fair understanding.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll go back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bhaskar Basu from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I just had two questions. Firstly, a housekeeping question. What was the write-offs in the NBFC book this quarter and the prior quarter?
Prior quarter, 419 crores. Yeah. So prior quarter was 419 crores and this quarter is 369 crores.
And which of the segments is the write-offs coming from?
Primarily it will come in the small ticket unsecured loan.
Okay. My second question was basically within the 19,000 crore of PL and consumer loan book. I mean, what percentage is basically fintech originated? I think you answered to it in the earlier question, but especially in the cases where the loan is originated at the fintech and you subsequently also kind of upsell them to PL, that would also be part of fintech originated loan. So what proportion of the total book would be fintech originated?
So Bhaskar, we mentioned this, most of the fintech origination comes in the consumer segment where we acquire customers, which is a small ticket customers in the consumer segment.
Because my understanding is a lot of this upsell loan effectively again goes back to the fintech in a way, right? So. So that's where I'm coming from.
No, so Bhaskar, that's I think we have an analytics team and which builds the scorecard and all. With the majority of the customers, the upsell is done by us. In certain cases, if it's done by the partner, there is fee to it. It's a commercial arrangement which is there with them. That's how the arrangement is.
So do you kind of approach the customer directly or through the fintech is what?
So again, see the scorecard, and I think Vishakha also mentioned this, we have a clear omni channel in terms of our scorecard, which is very, very similar even if we acquire for the same customer segment, for the same ticket size, if we acquire through direct or through the digital partners. So all of these scorecards and BREs are built on our system and by us.
Okay. And where do you kind of reflect the FLDG or the performance guarantee, etc., for some of these fintech arrangements? Where in the P&L does it come in?
So. After we have two partners where we have signed on FLDG. We are assessing others. It's very early days, but yeah.
Okay, so no FLDGs on your arrangements. Is that a fair understanding?
So the way it happens, it's like recovery. So it will be, if the FLDG is recovered, it will be shown as a recovery.
So Bhaskar, as you know, there were various eras of digital lending. So there was an FLDG era. After that, the digital new guideline of RBI came, where we moved to that lending where FLDGs were not allowed. But it, as we had explained before, it gets adjusted in the lending rate and the fees that we pay to our digital partners. Recently, RBI has again come out with a guideline according to which 5% we can have FLDG. We are engaging with our partners. In terms of two of our partners, we have, you know, kind of have concluded and moved to an FLDG kind of an arrangement. In terms of accounting, the way it happens is FLDG is recovered in cash from the counter, from the partner, and therefore that is considered as a recovery. It is an actual cash that you collect on FLDG and it is considered as recovery. And therefore is booked in the provision item as a write back. We do it on a cash basis when it is never accrued. You receive and only then it gets booked as a write back. So that's how it happens, but it is not, since the guideline is quite new you know, just 6-9 months back, the whole system has moved from an FLDG era to a normal lending era. Again, going back involves a discussion, involves a negotiation, and actually implementation on the ground, which is what is happening right now.
Understood. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. the first one for Pankaj, and you know, if I look at the housing business yields, you know, the yields have been sort of flattish or in fact have gone down a little bit sequentially. You know, how should one read this? And you know, some of the players have been kind of, you know, talking about increasing competition in the space. So maybe if you could share some thoughts on that, and even for that matter, any you know, any slowdown in demand that you may be seeing in the prime segment.
Yeah, thanks. So the question is around the effective interest rates. So like you rightly said, I think the rates that we were having in quarter one was 11.56 as EIR, which has now plateaued to about 11.37. That is, you know, where the EIR is. So here, like you would know, is obviously will come down because of compression of the margins, because, you know, we had the ability of passing on the rates that was increased on the repo side to our customers last year. So 2 basis points that you had the increase of repo rates, obviously they were passed on. But, you know, on our side of it, the banks which, you know, lend to us, obviously there's a lag in terms of they passing on the increase in rates to us. Now I see, you know, that cycle is almost, you know, kind of, you know, come to an end. So in my assessment, you know, one compression has happened because of the cost of funds, you know, which has gone up. But like you would have maybe seen that amongst, you know, all the housing finance companies, and cost of borrowing will be amongst the top quartile, you know, clearly because of our ability to borrow being a AAA, as well as, you know, our NHB contribution, which would have also seen, which has gone up, you know, to about 21% versus 16%. So that is, you know, one side of the story. The other side that is there is that, you know, how this will play out is that, you know, while the yields are, you know, getting a bit compressed, you know, on that side. For us, really the ROA tree, you know, has two other functions, which is, of course, the credit cost and also the, you know, cost-to-income ratios. And I think you would have observed that the, you know, credit costs have, you know, significantly come down, which is coming at the back of very smart, you know, positions and I would say very smart recovery that we've seen in stage 2, stage 3, which is also shown. So sequentially, also the stage 2, stage 3 has come down. And of course, YOY it has come down very handsomely. So that is really helping us on our credit cost, which is coming at the back of good quality of sourcing. We speak about the 96% sourcing that we've got, you know, which is 700 plus and also NTC. It also is a reflection of the pre-delinquency management that we do and of course the rigor of collections. So on that count, I think while yields, you know, in my assessment, of course they have slightly come down over Q1, but I think they should, you know, broadly stabilize here. Yes, market is very competitive. Is wanting to, you know, get into this space. It is, of course, heating up, but I think efficiencies are entire, you know, stack on the digital, you know, which has gone live. It's also going to bring in, you know, more operational efficiencies, which would help us, you know, in, you know, recalibrating the costs. And that should, you know, ensure that the ROA is within the range that we are today at and will remain range bound that, you know, in that zone of about between 2 to 2.10%. That is where we are.
So you mentioned on the borrowing cost, you know, being you know, in the upper quartile, but you know, what is the marginal cost of borrowing for the quarter? I'm not sure if I could see it anywhere in the presentation.
So when I said
I said amongst the best, so it is not amongst the highest. I just wanted to reconfirm that. So that is one of the best. So you know, broadly, you know, the cost of funds, it is in the range of about 6.5% for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, on the background of our ability to borrow, you know, at the best rates on the market, being a AAA consistently the last 5 years, and also NHB, as you will know, you know, if you have a decent contribution of affordable, you get affordable refinance, and that helps you to improve the overall, you know, cost of funds.
Thanks. That's helpful. Just quickly moving on to the you know, insurance business, life insurance business. You know, I'm just trying to understand. You know, most of the players have you know, at this point of time reported a compression in margins, while you know, you have reported a fairly healthy 200 basis point sort of expansion. What kind of explains that? And if it is just the product mix, then what kind of an optimal product mix are you looking at?
So our product margins, if you look at through the year, actually go up. So it's not, I mean, the build-up happens through the year. If you look at last year, same point of time, we would have been at about 12.5% range and ended the year at about 23. And that's the pattern that you'll see in the first half of this year. The expansion is essentially on account of maintaining our traditional book mix. We've seen some uptake on the business that we are doing on the protection side, but also because still we continue to reap the benefits of higher productivity as compared to what we get what we got last year, largely in our proprietary channels and direct channels. We are seeing the uptake. Like I said, we maintained our guidance for end of year to be, say, last year we were at 23. We will be around that range, 23-24% margins even by the end of this year.
But is it so that margins in proprietary channels are higher than that of partnership? And is that going faster?
So it depends on what state and what size you are building on the proprietary. I think in general, the answer to that question should be a yes. But even on partnerships, depending on you know, different cohorts, depending on what bank relationships you have, depending on what size some of them contribute, because all of them are functions of what kind of investment that you put in. So some of the small banks could have value creative margins as what I am saying on the proprietary side. Depends on when it becomes scale, it could be a combination of your volume as well as margin game. But yeah, proprietary would have a tendency of bringing significantly larger value creative margins in the business.
Thanks. And my final question to Mayank, you know, what explains the increase in combined ratio?
Yeah, as I said, that it's just a, you know, the seasonality of the growth, because, you know, last year our group business grew more in the first half of the year. It will start normalizing it from the third quarter, because individual components are all trending well. Our retail loss ratio is going down, our corporate loss ratio is in line with what we have quoted, and therefore it's a profitable segment. Our expense ratio. So it's just because of the N/2. So if I look at N/365, each component is going very well.
What the end of the year will probably be, you know, probably be neutral or probably improve a bit, is what you're saying.
You will start seeing the change in Q3 itself.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So I think there have been quite a few questions around the personal loan and the consumer loan part. I just want to know, what is the outstanding number of loan accounts in that, and what was this a year ago? And how many of these customers have two or more trade lines when you onboard them?
You said how many? I think what we will do is we will get back to you on this, Sudhanshu.
Okay, sure. And also, if we can have some sort of a, you know, zero plus or rollback rates for this, because the average ticket size are too low to be adjusted in gross stage 3 and those kind of numbers. So if we, we can probably publish that as well.
Thanks, we'll consider that.
Sure. And just because you didn't answer any of my questions, you mentioned that you are going to do something like FLDG. What does like FLDG mean? You either do FLDG or you don't do FLDG.
We will have to do FLDG. As I said, there were different guidelines of Reserve Bank of India where there was FLDG before, then they came with digital lending guideline where they prohibited FLDG. And now they have again allowed FLDG up to 5% of the total thing. So what I said is that we will engage, or we are engaging with our digital partners to see how, whether we can get into the old the arrangement which is in line with the Reserve Bank of India guidelines. So we will, if we do FLDG, it will be exactly according to the Reserve Bank of India guidelines.
Right. And these fintech partners include Paytm. Where we'll get
well, we'll do FLDG.
Sure, thanks.
And your earlier question on number of customers, so it's 59,37,141 customers.
That's in the personal loans.
You want personal loans?
Yeah, only personal loans. Only personal loans.
Okay, I'll give you that as well. I will share that with you. I think separately, I can share that.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Vishakha Mule, CEO, Aditya Birla Capital Limited, for closing comments.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us today evening, and happy Diwali to all of you and your families. Look forward to being in touch. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.